I put an outline on the back of your bulletin, and it's February the 9th of 2014. We're going to talk about John baptizing Jesus, and it's taken from Matthew 3, 13 through 17. And when you do the math, there's only four verses, but it's an amazing section of Scripture. It's a real meaty bite in just four things. So John and Jesus, two of the greatest men who ever walked the earth. So what will you take home because of them? When you come, did you come home, come here hoping to take something home? And I didn't mean from the potluck, although we do have boxes and we can set you up like that too. But when you sit down for one of these messages, are you actually looking for something that you can take home, take with you, that you can understand? I think that when I come with my pen and paper in hand and I'm listening to what God says, John and Jesus have a lot to offer you. Me, not so much. But these two guys really have a lot to offer us in our Christian lives. So we're going to talk about Jesus being obedient. We're going to talk about John being respectful and submissive. And actually, the Hebrews passage that I read describes Jesus as being respectful and submissive. So what John and Jesus got going on there is a real important thing for us, and then we'll close with the third one being God is loving. So here's what the Bible says in Matthew 13, or 3:13. Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River. He wanted to be baptized by John. John tried to stop him. He told Jesus, I need to be baptized by you, so why do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be this way for now. It's right for us to do this. It carries out God's holy plan. So John agreed. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came out of the water. At that moment, heaven opened. Jesus saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and landing on him. A voice from heaven said, this is my son. I love him. I'm very pleased with him. So what did you get out of those four verses? What did you see? Anything? Could you see my point of Jesus being obedient? That Jesus came to be obedient to God's holy plan. So is obedience an important attitude for us to see and understand in our lives? I know that's always been one of my challenges personally, is to be obedient. Even when I know the rules, I oftentimes look at them as suggested guidelines rather than rules. And I need to continually work on updating that attitude in my life. Is there ever, ever a better example of how we're to live our Christian lives than Jesus? Is there any example better than him? I don't think so. So, A on your outline, Jesus goes to John. Jesus goes. Okay, what I'm going to show you from the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry here with John to the last move he ever makes on earth, he's a goer. He is one who goes, and I think that's important. If you're interested in being obedient like Jesus, where would be a good place to start? Would it be stay where it's safe and warm, or maybe go? And I got to say, I'm not doing well at this. I'm not doing well at the going thing. I haven't been doing well at the going thing for a number of years. With the issues in my life and Julie's life, I've stayed really close to home. And I haven't been doing good at going. And I'm trying to change that. It's a new year. And I think I can change. You? Do you think you could be more like Jesus, more of a goer, more of going to do rather than sitting? B on your outline, Jesus wanted to be baptized. See, I want to change. I want to become again like I was once upon a time, more of a goer, going to make disciples, going to do these things, going and not staying so close to the ranch. I want to do that. Jesus wanted to be baptized. He wanted to do what was right, to do the right thing at the right time. Have you ever experienced being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing? You ever been in one of those places where you consciously and verbally say to somebody you're with, I know we're in the right place, we're here at the right time, We're doing the right thing. Ever experienced that? Jesus is always there. He's always in that place. He doesn't occasionally drift into that. He's always there. And I think our lives could be like his life if we would be willing to become obedient, reverent, submissive, like him. We could be in the right place at the right time doing the right thing all the time. Or at least more of the time. No one's ever going to be as perfect as him. But John did a good job of being in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. And even what he did there. So, obedience. In Hebrews 5:7, it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience in a way that's rather unique in the scriptures. Here's what it says. During the days of Jesus on earth, he offered up prayers, petitions, and fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. God heard his prayers because of his reverent submission. I think that if we incorporated this attitude that Jesus has and John has, our prayers would be more effective. Now, in Hebrews 5:8, it says, son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And I changed the color because Jesus came to earth to learn from a man's standpoint how to be obedient. He learned it. And that gives me hope that I could learn it as well. So, once made perfect, he became a source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And again, I changed that color purposely. He was designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So, do some people say that just receiving Jesus saves someone? You ever heard people say that all you gotta do is accept Jesus? I don't know what they do about these passages that talk about his life expression of obedience. You need both. You really need to accept him, and because God loved you that much, then you love God enough to be obedient and do what God asked you to do, and it should be a looping circle in your life that obedience and love keep coming around and desiring in you to want to do the right thing at the right time in the right place. It's not just because you've accepted him as Lord and Savior, but now you're letting him actually be Lord, High Governor, King of your life. So, are you thinking yet? Does any of that challenge your thinking? Are you thinking? See, Jesus listens to John. I think it's really clear in the Bible that God is a great listener. He's a great listener. He listens to what John has to say. And it's important for us to understand that God wants to listen. So Jesus is God. John knows this. Jesus cares about John and tells him, it's okay, it's good for you to do this for me right now. So Jesus listens to him and responds. So, okay, John has moved to the big time here. Can you imagine what it would feel like to be asked to baptize God? You ever thought of that? You ever thought of being asked to baptize anyone? I remember the first time, really clear, guy's name was John. John was a drug dealer. He was an immoral guy. He's a wife abuser. And he came to know the Lord. And he said, hey, I met the Lord. He changed my life. Would you baptize me? And I said, okay. So we went to this big Baptist church I was working in Myrtle Beach and said, hey, John wants me to baptize him. Only ordained ministers can baptize in the Baptist church. I said, oh, okay. And John's sitting there and he says, oh, no, that's not the way it's going to go down. You know, I want Wilmer to baptize me. He's the one who got me this far, and I want him in the water with me. I don't want some minister I don't know. And I want to invite all of my friends. I want to invite all of my druggies, all of my girlfriends, all my coworkers. And they say, okay, Well, you may do that, but you're going to have to put these white robes on and walk across the stage. And John's, oh, no, we're not doing that. I'm going to sit out there with my friends, and then I'm going to get up and get into the baptismal. And when I get out of the water and I've been washed clean, then I'll put on the white robe. And it was really cool because John did invite all of his friends, and he was a construction worker. And some of the drywall guys came. They were working on a Sunday, and they had mud on them. And there was a whole row, 8 girls that came from the strip club, and they all bought new dresses to come to this thing. But they could have melted the snow around here. They were all really hot looking. And I'm sitting out there with these guys, and then John and I go up and get into the baptismal, and I asked him to share his testimony. And never, ever heard a clearer testimony of my life was a mess. Jesus fixed it. He'll do that for you. He says, okay, now I'm ready. And I baptized him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And it was really fun. You know, and then we got out and put on the white robes after we were done. But would you ever consider doing that, being baptized? The church there said it would be okay. The church here said it would be okay. You want to do that sometime? Okay, Jesus carries out God's holy plan. So Jesus was buying into God's holy plan, and he was finishing. Does Jesus ever change his ministry and his message? Does he stay true to it? Does he always go? Does he always have an interest in people being baptized? Is he always a good listener? Is he always one who will speak the truth? Does he always invite you and I to join with him? Yeah. Yeah, to all of those things. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, these are the last words before he floats up into the clouds. Then Jesus came to them. He's a goer. He goes to the disciples and said, all authority in heaven and earth been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded. So in this passage that we look at, we see Jesus getting out of the water. We see the Holy Spirit coming down. We hear the voice of the Father. From the beginning of his ministry to the last instant on earth, he's saying the same thing. And he's wanting you and I to say the same thing. And surely, I'm always with you to the very end of the age is the last part of that passage. So start to end, Jesus is always the same. Beginning of creation to the end of eternity, if there is an end to eternity, I guess there isn't really, but he's always going to be the same all the way through. John was like Jesus. He died because he wouldn't back down from speaking the truth. John would always be obedient to say what was right, even when it wasn't politically correct. And he would call immorality immorality. He would call adultery adultery. He would call sin sin. And it ended up killing him. But he never failed to fulfill those things. So I guess that just leaves us. What are we going to do? Are we going to live like Jesus and be obedient? Or maybe not so much. So John was respectful and submissive. A on your outline. John knew he needed to be baptized by Jesus. He knew it. John knew who Jesus is. He knew Jesus was God. John knew that when he was still inside his mama. What? Could that be? Here's what it says in Luke 1:36. The angel said to Mary. Now this is Virgin Mary. And Angel Gabriel having a conversation. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She was said to be unable to conceive, is 6 months along. No word from God will ever fail. If you don't take anything home other than that one slide, take that one home, take that one to the bank. No word of God will ever fail. God never does. He never backs off from his word. He's always going to be true to what he said. It goes on to say, I'm the Lord's servant, Mary answered. Now there's one. Ooh, and may your word may be fulfilled in me. So there's the right attitude. There's the obedient, submissive, respectful servant. I'm the servant of the Lord. I don't understand how this is all going to work out. I don't know how I'm going to get pregnant as a virgin, but I'm in. Let it happen. Let it be fulfilled in me. And the angel left. Then Mary got ready and she hurried up the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So who's the baby of Zechariah and Elizabeth? This is John. And the boy did a cartwheel inside his mom. 6 months old, did a cartwheel, or whatever that is, when he leaped inside his mama's womb. But Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, so John knows the influence of the Holy Spirit from 6 months in and all the way through his life. How cool would that be? Oh, and just a note in passing, did John's life start when he exited the womb of Elizabeth or at conception? That's a big question in our culture, isn't it? When is a human a human? And our government says a human isn't a human until it gets out of the mama. When it's inside, no, it's not human yet. That's not true. It's not true. And anyway, just a note in passing. B, John asked honest questions of Jesus. John asked honest questions of Jesus. Is it okay with God to talk about what you don't understand? Is that okay? Well, yeah. Hey, this doesn't seem like it's the right thing to be doing right now, man. Oh, it's okay. Let's just do it. It'll be fine. But you don't understand. You should be baptizing me, not me you. Yeah, I understand. It's okay. I hear you, but let's do it anyway, right? So God's okay with you asking him questions. Now, how about this one? Is it okay with God not to do what you do understand? Is that okay? If you ask the questions and he gives you the clear direction from the Bible or from somewhere else, and then you don't do it, is that still okay? If you know but you don't obey, is that still cool? I don't think not so much. Asking honest questions, one gig. Not doing what you know you should, that's a whole donkey of a different color right there. Does God love you because of what you do? Does God love you for who you are? Obviously, from what we read today, he loved Jesus. Jesus hadn't done anything but get in the water. And his father said, I love you. Later we'll look at, you're the delight of my life. Now, see, John did what Jesus asked him to do. John did it. Jesus was a goer. John was a doer. He would do what God asked him to do, even if it would cost him his life. John was a good man. In this passage of Matthew 3:14 and 15, John said, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. Jesus insisted, do it. God's work, putting things right for all the centuries, is coming together right now in this baptism. So John did it. It's all coming together at that moment. Do it. Seems pretty clear in the message. God's work, his redemptive work, is coming together right now in this place, as well as that place. You get that? It's not just what they did back then. It's what the Spirit's doing now. That's as important in the redemptive process of God's work. Okay, here's one that's a little far out, but I thought of it, so I wrote it down. Do you know that we could go outside and baptize right now in this place? United Brethren lets me use water. They don't say it has to be unfrozen. Now, think about it. How cool would it be, fresh, white, fallen snow, if you went out and we buried you in snow and then raised you to new life in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? You think you'd ever forget that? Do you think anybody else would ever forget it? We could baptize you in the snow. right now, if you want to. We don't need a warm baptismal. We can go out there. Then we can, instead of a white robe, we could put on warm clothes. But wouldn't that be fun? Why does it always have to be in the box, like the little Baptist church? Why we have to do it just like this? We could, the United Brethren will let us baptize any way we want to, as long as we use water. Oh, well, anyway. Jesus was obedient to God. God loves his son. So which one comes first? Which one comes first? In this one, Jesus does what's right, and then God says he loves him, but he doesn't say he loves him because of what he did. What comes first? See, the love of the Father always comes first, and he always loves the most. People wonder whether what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Well, good grief. He made the adult chicken first, and then the two of them got together, and then they had eggs later. It was clear, right? And this is crystal clear, too. God always loves first. He always loves most. But we obey because he loves us first. Because he loves us most. And because we know that's the delight of God. That's what he made us for, is to be obedient kids and to talk with him and relate with him and do his stuff. Okay. God's loving. That's kind of the segue into that third point. In 3:16, it says, as soon as Jesus was baptized and came up out of the water, at that moment, heaven opened. Jesus saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove. The voice from heaven said, this is my son. I love him. I'm pleased with him. Okay, I've had eagles do a flyover at my baptisms, but this is a much bigger deal here when the dove comes down. Smart people call this the Trinity. I just call it God. But it's one of the clearest pictures of who God is in Scripture. It's way cooler than having the eagle fly over or even jets fly over. That would be neat. But would you ever think of using this passage to help someone know God? I mean, this is what God's like. It's like this sun. It's like the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove. And it's like this voice from heaven. So, A on your outline, Jesus is all God and all man. You get to write all two times, but I didn't make it a big word. He's all God, he's all man. Now, somehow, I don't know how, God the Father got his cell inside the Virgin Mary that we talked about earlier, and part of him and part of her made Jesus. I don't know exactly how that all happened. I don't have to understand how they did that fertilization. But Jesus is all of God, and he's all of man at the same time. And that's important to understand and important to communicate to people as we share with them about baptism, about who God is. That's a critical mass. Jesus is a new creation of God. Jesus finishes the creation and the redemption. Now, in your mind, do you tie creation and redemption of man together in one process? Is it all one flowing river, one nice, clean, white string? Is it all one thing, or in your mind, do you break it up into little pieces? Well, you know, that's this and that's that. No, it's all it. Jesus is the creation fulfillment, the redemption fulfillment. It's all one smooth, flowing thing. Is God done? Will he soon bring a new heaven and a new earth and destroy this one? You hear me say that a lot, and I always ask, are you ready? If it's this afternoon when he comes back, are you ready to meet him? Are you up to speed? Have you done the baptismal thing? Are you going? Are you being obedient? Are you being reverent? Are you being submissive? When you meet him face to face, you're going to want to have those ducks in a row. You know, you're going to want to have that ready. B, the Holy Spirit of God can appear like a dove. So, the Holy Spirit can appear. Okay, you tell me, how many different forms does the Holy Spirit present himself in? As you think through the Bible, how many does he, in Genesis, he's a hovercraft. He hovered over the water. How do you see that? You know, is it a bird flying? Is it, you know, fire on top of the water. How do you see him hovering? In Exodus, he appears in flames of the bush when the bush didn't burn up. Does he do fire at Pentecost too? Sure. What's your favorite presentation? When I was a kid growing up, it was the donkey in the King James Bible, because you could always read it in Sunday school class, and it was an ass. The ass spoke to Balaam. I always loved it. I'll read that one. But the Holy Spirit can show up like a donkey. He can show up like a dove. He can be a hovercraft. He can be a fire. There's a lot of different ways he shows himself up. So here's the big question. Are you ready for this one? If he shows himself in different forms, does that mean he's different each time? No. He's always the same, but he'll do whatever it takes to get the job done, to express himself, to communicate himself. See on your outline, the voice from God, the Father, was heard from heaven. So they heard the Father. And I don't really find a clear Bible reference where it ever talks about God the Father having a body. Maybe it does, and I just haven't found it. So what did you hear in the Father's message? How much had Jesus done so far in ministry? All he'd done is get wet. So the voice from heaven said, "This is my Son. I love him. I'm pleased with him." And the message, it says, "I'm delighted with him. He's the delight of my life. I've chosen him, marked him. He's the delight of my life." That could be you and me too. The Winter Olympics. How many of the parents should think they're happy that their kids just got to the games? Many? Man, I would be happy. Every time my children or my grandchildren perform, I'm always really glad and accepting of them when they compete, before and after. Why? Well, God loves his children because they're his. Children obey their parents because they love him. If one does not love God or a parent, it means they love themselves. They got a self-love problem. So how would I end this thing? How would you end it? Jesus is obedient. You? John was respectful and submissive. You? God is loving. You? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking from heaven and saying love is one of your primary motives, objectives, attitudes, expressions. As you love, and you love us, as we read in 1 John when we had Ian up here, you love us as your children. And so I just pray that each one of us would make the next step, whether it's being baptized, and you don't have to do it in the snow, but if that's what you need, if it's repentance, I pray that we do that. If it's coming to you as a personal Lord and Savior, I pray that you do that. If it's like me, that get going more, I pray I do that. And I pray that you'd unction and help each one of us as we move along, and that you would keep us in body life with each other so we could encourage each other in these things. And we could join in with John and Jesus and you, Father, in this loving expression of your kind community. And we would do that all in the sweet name of our Savior, Jesus Christ and Lord. Amen.